confused, but it was supposed to be the snack. And that shit did not work out at all.
Let's get it. We live.
I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world. And that's our job.
JB, what's the name of the podcast?
It's a pod named Kickback. A pod named Kickback. It's like a Tribe Called Quest.
You say the whole thing.
Welcome back to a pod named Kickback. I am No Breaks, No, the Righteous Ratchet. If you throw it, I'll catch it. If you got it, I'll match it. Each and every week, we right back at it. I am the Black Savage, the Magneto of my people. I'm God with Black Power and shit. Jack, what up?
He is like the Shannon Sharp of podcasts with that introduction. I am Get Fit with Jack, getting you ready for this summer. Y'all hit me up like crazy now, waiting to the last minute, but it's all good. Hit me up, I'll get you right for the summer.
Yeah, shit. After I eat this cake, I'll hit you up. Randy T, talk to him.
Hey, it's your man, D. Randy T, Mr. Man Up Monday, all day, every day, in the building.
All right, man, I can send the show to people like this? Wait a minute. Okay. This is interesting. All right. I can send the links out and shit. What up, Ty?
What's up, fam? Oh, fam. See, all the family in the house.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We got the Dawson's and the Hagans up in here. Let's get it. And the top. How many different Briscoes? We got a lot of different names. But man, anyway.
There's a lot of branches, bro. We can't.
Exactly.
Don't even go there. Hey, the reunion. Hey, when we get the whole reunion together in the whole tree, it's going to be something beautiful, though. It's going to be something beautiful.
Yeah. Hell
and
yeah.
The pod might make it happen.
For real? Yeah? Yeah?
Let's go. Let's go.
Hello, man. You know what? Fuck it, I start off high low this week.
Now, high low. Who wants to go first?
Well, the high was my birthday. My birthday was Wednesday. I hit that magical age of 48 years. Where was my round of applause? Oh, I'm clapping for myself here. I know she was going away. Thank you. I went to the underground, the art festival a couple weeks ago. I went down, the Red Phone Booth a couple, but last week, yesterday for 420, I just went down Beltline and just walked up and down the Beltline, hit different bars, you know, tried different food. And it was a 420 friendly environment.
For all y'all that don't know, 420 is for all the cannabis consumers. That's for the cannabis consumer, if you're not aware. All right, continue. My bad.
Yeah. And then, Jeanette Gunn, the baker, the official baker of Atlanta, Georgia, she baked me a pound cake. All the cakes to this amazing.
With cannabis in it?
No. This wasn't infused. Okay. Okay. It was strictly for snack purposes. So I'm like, we down the Beltline. I got my cake. I cut off a couple of pieces to leave for myself. Now I'm going to take the big cake for the crew down. I'll be out and doing what we do. We can snack on this good-ass cake. And let me tell you, when she delivered the cake to me, it was still warm.
It's a munchie cake.
Yeah, she lives 5 minutes from me. She took it out the oven, put it in a box, drove it over. The bottom of the box was still warm. So I took some pieces, put it in this little Tupperware. That'll be for me. And I'll let the crew punish the rest of the cake. Yeah. Do you know we were so hot, we left the whole cake here? So now I got a whole damn cake and a half just sitting. Can I show y'all this? Let me see something. This is the beauty of having a removable camera. I actually can.
Yeah. So is that is this still the high, or which part, or was part of this the low?
It was all high. What number high?
Okay.
It was no low. I do feel a little bad. Everybody didn't get a chance to partake in the cake.
I'm mad. That joint look good. Right.
First slice, I could barely cut it because it was still that warm. Mm. Once I finally separated it and got a nice even piece, it was just. It was a mouthgasm. I don't know what the fuck you call it. But shout out to Miss Gum, man. She's the official baker. She's been baking. I've had I had a red velvet, I had a 7-Up pound cake, I had this is a sour cream pound cake.
Okay.
And I think I had a chocolate cake. So I've had like 4 different cakes. That's why I can't lose no damn weight. I keep eating her fucking cakes, balls.
You got family coming in town, you know, soon that you could put in an order for something. You know what I mean?
True too. Yeah. That's true too. Because you'll be here with
another out there. You just showed it all on to everybody on the pod. DC Angel in the building. Yeah.
What up?
Let's see. Let's go.
If you are wondering who
you got a low? That's your high.
Hell no, I ain't got no low. But if y'all wondering why who you shouting out. And where we shouting to people out at is people who are watching us live on Sunday night. Sunday nights at 7 p.m., you can watch us live on YouTube or Facebook. If you want to be a part of the actual show, comment and talk with us. If not, wait till Monday morning. You know the episode will be out. But, Jack, let's get into it. I have no low. My high was my birthday week. And I'm gonna leave it there because it was so many great things that happened. I don't want to take up the whole beginning of the podcast telling you how great my week was. It was great. It was great. now, Jack, let's talk to the people. How was your week? What's your high and low?
Oh, either, but my high was I worked at a golf tournament yesterday, and it was black. It was a black event, all black people. The black, it was beautiful. We had barbecue, we had mimosas, we had Tito's, we had all kinds of tequila. It was a beautiful event. It was good to see a lot of those rich black people, just amazing, and just letting loose, you know.
okay, that's gonna be us,
y'all.
You're gonna be a part of that. You're gonna be a part of that sooner than y'all think.
Yeah, we need sponsors. That's what we're talking about. We'll be there.
All right, so Randy T, we two highs and no lows so far. Where you gonna take us?
My low is it would end up being my high, and I don't know if it's a high or low, but I'll just get a story right. So it happened. So this is at work, right? And again, I bagged another millionaire this week too. That was another high, but. Put that to the side. So I'm at work. I'm very meticulous with my files, right? Like I got files dating back that like I don't play about my business, right? So I found out, like I went through an audit and found out that I got an email from the lady who does our audits for the whole company who told me like she has nothing for me since I started. So I'm like, what? I'm like, I pride myself in being a dude that's early and files are impeccable. And like she hit me with an email with a list that I've got to scroll down. It's like 6 months worth of stuff. She's saying she ain't got nothing from me. Like all like the stuff that I found is all wrong. Hey, what up, Zayna? Good to see you, big sis. I was like all of it wrong. So I was like, Don. So for somebody who pride himself in keeping his stuff tight. Right. I'm like, whoa. So the next day, though, I had a training with the dude who helped do our system. So I found out I have been doing all my stuff correct. I just been putting it in the wrong place. Right. So my low was the email. So he was like, hey, look, right. Listen, man, you doing it all right. You just putting it in the wrong place. And I'm saying to my man Kev, who I work with, and he had like one of them Zen voices too. He'd be like, "Hey, it's okay, Randy. You did okay. It's nothing to worry about." I was like, I felt like he was like hitting the blunt while he was talking to me or something, right? Because like his camera ain't on though, and he just real like, "Hey, it's all right, Randy. We got you. Like, this is what we're gonna do. Share your screen. We're gonna click here, and gonna hit there." And look, magic, ta-da, it's all right. And so, look, so my high was, so my low was with my email from her. My high was, all my stuff was there. And my, and you know, and my reputation still intact with my five. High, low, I guess.
There you go.
I love it.
I love when a low rolls into a high.
Right.
I don't know any better than that.
Yeah, yeah.
As I see, I'm still fucking up the pound cake.
Ah, no.
It's still good.
Stop.
All right, man. Well, let's get into it. Let's get into the viral story of the week as soon as I find my drop.
My left stroke just went viral.
The diss records heard across the world. Now, this Drake versus everybody thing has been really, really interesting. And there's so many components to it. I just want to highlight what happened. And then we can just talk about whatever part of it we want to talk about. But I want to tell everybody what happened. So Drake, of course, Rick Ross responded to Drake over the weekend, last weekend. I don't know if we covered that or not. I can't remember if it was Sunday or Monday when we actually heard it. But Drake has responded to Kendrick again because Kendrick hasn't dropped yet. But, you know, with the whole AI thing and everybody not knowing what songs is real, what songs are fake, what song is computer generated, or what's real, Drake put 50 push-ups on the streaming platforms to let people know it was official. He did make that song. And I guess he decided, they keep making these AI songs. I'm going to take advantage of this shit. I'm going to make one myself. So the boy writes a rap directed from Tupac, from the grave, to Kendrick, and he uses AI to make his voice sound like Tupac. Then he does another verse from Snoop Dogg to Kendrick, using AI. Started off with Nephew. I'm like, it's Snoop Nephew and everything. And then the last verse is him finally talking to Kendrick. And Pac is like, "Kendrick, we need you. You're the West Coast savior. You got to come back and handle your business. Call this nigga a bitch. Do something. Don't just let this light-skinned nigga from Canada keep shitting on us. Get him, Kendrick." And Snoop is like, you know, "What you gonna do, Nephew? You looking like you really just don't really want no problem. Like you being mighty quiet." And then Drake comes on like, "Yeah, that's the truth. You know, he don't really want it. He's scared of Taylor Swift to put him on pause since her album dropped. He can't drop. He gotta wait till Taylor Swift give him permission and all this shit." And it wasn't like the best quote unquote diss song, the most vicious, but I love the creativity in it. As an MC, as a rapper, as a dude who has been in many of battles in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, and nationwide, as a dude that consider himself a battle rapper, as a dude that loves the art of battling, which is why I was so mad at J. Cole, because I love it, I respect it, I'm of it. To see Drake go, "Let me do something different." I can't be mad. It was like when 50 Cent dissed the game, but he did the whole verse rapping that like he was the game. And as the game, he was dissing himself by talking shit to 50. But that's creative, man. Mm-hmm. It's just not just, "Fuck you, bitch ass nigga." He put some thought into it, some creativity on it, a little spin on it. And I really, really enjoyed that record. Kanye also dropped a record, Like That Remix, which I thought was cool. It was cool, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, ain't really my thing, but it was cool. And then lastly, we'll get into Chris Brown and Quavo. But first,
ding, ding.
Before we go there, what are y'all thoughts on the Drake, Tupac, Snoop AI record? Was it creative? Was it stupid? Was it a boss move? Was it some corny shit? What did y'all think? I thought it was
creative. I definitely think it was a creative move. Boss move? I don't think so. I've kind of checked out the whole beef thing. It's getting all, you know, away from the lyrical part of it. But I think that was real creative, and he has to come creative because he's coming against Kendrick Lamar. He has to get creative. He has to.
Randy G.
Hey, and I don't know. It just might be because it might be after I found out that Drake was, you know, the Disney dude. So he always Drake the Disney dude to me. I don't care how good the rhymes are, and I'm not trying to diminish him at all. Like, he's a bad man. But at the end of the day, I always see him as Disney Drake, right? So when I be listening to it, so I saw it like creatively corny. So I was like, you know, this is real thoughtful, you know what I mean? Like, it took some thought to sit down and come up with this process and be like, yo, I'm coming back with a dude that's dead and a dude that's alive, but he ain't here with me right now on this track. And I'm gonna put it all together and by myself and write everybody part. So he wrote, directed, you know what I mean? And executed, you know what I mean, a whole movie, right? So in that aspect, I'm like, yeah, you did, like, that's real creative. But then I'm like, you know me too. I'm like, battle rap was like, that was what I did more than write, was, you know what I mean? So now that rap wars are happening, like, y'all, like, this is like my wheelhouse. Like, if I'd have, like, when the battle rap joint got big, where they was doing it, if that was in my era, I would have been one of them dudes. I wouldn't have been the dude. I'd have never been the dudes recording. Like, I was the ones that I want to be face to face. You know what I mean? Like, just come off the dome and let's get it. So right here, what's happening now is I'm loving all of it. Let's keep it going. Like, for real. Drake, corny cool. Let's go.
Corny cool. I'm gonna name this episode corny cool. But we do have to go on record. This is Drake's second response to Kendrick. Kendrick has been quiet. Now, as Drake says in the song, I know we can't, well, I know we're not going to get your response until next week because Taylor Swift told you shut up. So that leads me to believe we will get a Kendrick response next week. And then Rory and Maul jumped out there and said that Drake has an album dropping in May. Joe Budden also confirmed he heard Kendrick was coming. So they're thinking maybe Kendrick's diss track will be on his new surprise album. So I guess we'll see. I know Kendrick not scared, so I don't know, but I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no question. We know he's not scared.
Yeah. Do you guys take away points if it takes you too long to respond? You start going, oh, it's been 2 weeks. Oh, that's the point. You lose a nail, or was you?
It does take a little bit out of it because it's a beef. It's going back and forth, like Randy was saying. I like the battle rap too, so it's not like, you know, when you take too long, it's like, okay, so who's writing your stuff? Who you didn't talk to? Who you didn't got feedback from? It's not like just you. It's everybody else telling you what to do and give you input, and that's not really going back and forth.
Yeah, I get that. That Clarissa in the house, they got, that's the number one fan right there. I see it like this. Like, the longer you take, right, then it's going down. You losing a little momentum. But I see it like this. Like, and I take it like me and my girl who not been giving, you've been withholding your love for a minute, right? You hold back and I'm waiting on it, you know what I mean? The longer you wait, I'm getting madder. But when you give it to me, you better give it to me. And if you give it to me, you know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, you took a long time to get it, like, right? But if you can't correct that, and it's like, yeah, you took a while to get here, but, you know what I'm
saying? Like, I'm trying to think. I think Ether was like that. I think we were all waiting on Nas, and then they said Nas' album dropping in 2 weeks. Like, oh, Nas, maybe it's on the album. And then I think Ether dropped, well, like maybe a day or two before the album came out or something like that. And we was like,
right, that was strategic.
And that was months. That was months, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was months. Yeah. But we forgot about all the time that had surpassed between what we was waiting to what we just heard. We were just like, whoa.
Yeah. And, you know what I mean?
Sometimes now, if you whack, if it would have been whack, then like now your image is tarnished. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now your image
Jay-Z, is tarnished. What I'm saying about when Jay-Z responded to Ether, it was like a couple days later, but people said Super Ugly wasn't the best response. And then they made the battle between Super Ugly and Ether when it should have been Takeover and Ether. And then Jay-Z, quote unquote, lost that battle, quote unquote, said some things he thought went too far that he apologized for. But I think that's because of a rash decision, moving too quick. Drake said moving too quick with Pusha T, not knowing what Pusha T really had in the tuck, caused him that battle. Like, when she was talking about my son, I was like, whoa, this ain't battle no more. Like,
right.
Like, what am I walking into? And he said that he was taking it easy on Kendrick because he was like, what am I walking into? So he's still lightly jabbing Kendrick, but I suspect that he got some heavy shit with him. Drake got some shit with him, like, I'm waiting. So we're going to see what Kendrick says next, how far he goes with it. Because it could be another friendly jab. If I get one more friendly competition jab out of these niggas, I'm going to get mad.
Hey, man, look, I'm not take gloves
off and be like Chris Breezy and just go for the jugular.
They just going the slow route. They just filling themselves out. Long as they keep it going, you know what I mean, jab around, somebody sooner or later going to throw a real punch. Keep jabbing. Keep jabbing.
Or this could be one of them punk-ass fights where nobody throw a punch. All they do is grab each other the whole goddamn fight.
I hope not. I hope it ain't a white girl fight. Oh, I'm sorry. I love y'all. I love all my white girls. I love all y'all. I'm just saying. Y'all know how y'all fight, right? I hope it ain't one of them. That's all I'm saying.
It's gonna be real, real interesting because you got Rick Ross on the side, you know, going at Drake. I would say gloves off.
He came out.
Yeah. Kind of still shooting at Drake. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of moving pieces.
Let's do that for a minute. Can we talk about Kanye? He's been out the news for a minute. If we must.
He's on the official remix to Like That, which is a song by Metro Boomin and Future that featured Kendrick Lamar initially. The remix, great, great beat. They're keeping the tradition of the Like That beats being fire. But now this one has Kanye on it. Lyrically, I think it's cool. Kanye can give you a couple good lines. He says, you know, nigga so out of sight, out of mind, I can't even think of a Drake line, which I thought was kind of a cool little line. Like, I can't even think enough to say it. Like, you're nobody. But what killed me was he was like, I put on J. Cole and then pussies dry up. I thought shit. But I told y'all J. Cole was going to get it from now until eternity for doing that sucker shit. Nobody going to let that go. He violated the 48 laws of hip hop.
Come on, man. We ain't going back. We talking about Kanye. We ain't going back.
But I'm not a big Kanye fan as a human or as an artist. But I can, to a degree, appreciate his role in the culture. Appreciate his presence at times. Yes. And I'm not mad at him being a part of this. He don't like Drake. So his style birthed Drake. So Drake is like his unruly son to a degree. So if he wants to jump in, I can't really, most of these are your children, Kanye. I don't know how much tell you how to discipline your kids. So
right.
I'm not a big fan, but I wasn't mad. Jack, did you hear Kanye's contribution?
I mean, you know, Kanye's just being Kanye, so.
Kanye doing Kanye things. All right, Randy, so you wanted to talk about this. What are your thoughts on this, on Kanye's effort?
I'm just honestly, like, we never know. Like, Kanye, like your drunk uncle who got out of rehab and you don't know what he came to the out. And you don't know what's going to happen, right? You don't know which uncle going to show up, right? You don't know he's going to be the cool one this week or he's going to be the one they calling the police on and they and the party over with, right? You don't know what you're getting, but you know he a genius, right? So, like, you'd be like, if I get the good uncle, I want to sit down and I want to eat, right? I don't want the crazy one because I know he a genius, but the crazy, you know what I mean, come out a whole lot more. I'm glad to see him back in the news, but because for me, you know what I mean? Like, he took his whooping, you know what I mean? And stopped playing, and he learned his lesson. Stop playing with them Stop playing with them, right? Know where you eat at and just do what you do. I hope he learned that lesson, right? Because until everything switch around and everybody who know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about, until stuff change, you know what I mean? We got to play the game and stay in our lanes. Like, simple and plain. But nope. I thought it was real creative. Kanye, like, I don't care what y'all say, man. When it comes to writing creativity and stuff, like, he has one of the greatest rap minds of all times in the history of the rap game, hip-hop. Period. College dropout.
He don't even write his own shit. Get this nigga way too much credit for a nigga that don't even write his own shit.
He wrote this.
How you know he wrote this?
I don't know. I think he did. Maybe he did. You're right. Let me take that back. I think he wrote it. If he did write it, Drake don't write his neither. So it's the same thing.
I don't give him that credit either. As an MC, I'm not giving credit to a nigga that don't write all this shit.
Right, like, in the world of battle rap, how does this really work with people who ain't doing their own stuff? It's just like you telling somebody to throw a punch for you, and then they punch somebody in the face for you. Like, if they knock them out, can we really get them credit? Like, if they get a knockout, like, if I be like, punch him in the face, no, and you go punch him in the face and you get knocked out, is that a victory for me?
No, but ironically, in the state of Pennsylvania, they have a master slave clause, where if I tell you to punch a nigga in the face for me and you knock him out, I can be in prison for it. It's called the master slave clause. So you can't win. You can't get a victory, but you could definitely take an L. And don't ask me how I know. Jackie, don't ask too many questions, Jackie. You're asking way too many questions right now. I see it in your facial feature. Just chill.
But I was thinking the same thing, though.
but what I have done, I'll tell you a couple things that I've done as far as my rapper brain and then going to podcaster brain. My rapper brain is like Rick Ross was a corrections officer. I can't listen to this shit. He ain't telling the truth. And the real Rick Ross, I know him. He was on my podcast, Freeway Ricky Ross. And it's but Rick Ross kept making really good music. Drake don't write all this shit. I know he don't write all this shit, but he wrote stuff for Kanye. He wrote stuff for other rappers. So even though he gets help, he's helping people too. So does it balance out? Kanye don't make all his own shit, but he come up with most of the concepts. My concept is this: I need lyrics to sound like that. Go knock it out for me. Yeah. So my standards in rap are a little bit different, but I will call you a rapper. I might not call you an MC. So, you know, Drake, Kanye, they are always in the top whatever of rappers that lived. I don't know that I put them in the top MCs. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody helping on a hook, like, on this part, you should say, jump out the window. That's a hook. He can help me with that. Right. If they're like, nah, you need to come at them like this. Like, easily, I approach. Like, whoa, let me try and write my lyrics now. Y'all, you gonna tell my story.
None of this battle rapping is going to either diminish or put them in the Hall of Fame to me. So I'm like, I'm about to start looking at it like this. It's just blow for blow. I just want to see who going to get it and for the comeback. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not putting a stamp on your career if you win one. You know what I mean? And I ain't putting an asterisk on it either if you lose one. You know what I mean? It's battle rap. You know what I mean? You've been there new. You've been an artist. You know, you walk in, you like, it been some nights. It just been a dude that just like, he just like, you just was there, but he just was a little better, right?
I've never had a night like that.
No, me neither, but I'm just saying, people have, I've seen people experience that, and I've helped other people experience
that. Yeah, man, I'll say this. I think I agree with you that, well, no, I think I disagree. I think that if Drake hushed up and got real quiet like he did with Pusha T, that would be like two times you just muted yourself. That would be a strike. J. Cole is a strike to me. J. Cole has to change what he raps about from now on. He can no longer rap about, I'm the best and I'll give it to anybody. Shut the fuck up. You didn't give it to Kendrick. So he got to go back to, like I said, rapping about maybe everyday human stuff, working a job, loving your wife, how you should vote next November, you know, how to lose weight on the keto diet.
On all y'all listen to the show on the regular, y'all listen how he just worked it around back to hating J. Cole again. Like we just said, we wasn't even talking about something else.
I'm just explaining how you can lose.
Somehow you made it about J. Cole again, though. Like,
because it can damage your legacy. But it can damage you. This battle.
He out the fight. If this a battle royal and we watching WWE, J. Cole threw himself over the top rope. Like,
and we're never going to forget that.
We still got dudes in the ring who throwing it out.
The question posed was, well, you said it can't affect nobody's legacy. I'm showing you that it can. J. Cole's legacy has been affected. Maybe not in the Cole had the
Drake, out Drake of this wasn't, level, no matter what Drake he doing. Wasn't when Meek Mill punished them, Drake's wasn't.
No. Drake made Meek Mill shut up. Drake won that battle. Meek Mill legacy took a hit.
Yeah. No. Drake that's got the reverse. I meant Meek Mill. I meant the reverse.
Yeah, exactly. And he took a hit.
I meant the reverse.
It took a hit.
I don't know if it did.
His last album did 15,000. It took a hit.
I don't think it was because of the rap. I think because the album wasn't good. What happens is
when you can no longer be believable, when the character you put in front of us is no longer believable, you used to take a hit. You know, the only person I know that never took a hit, well, I named a couple that just weren't damaged by it. Rick Ross, corrections officer.
When he opened in the playoffs, when Meek Mill was doing the halftime show, did you like? And you say he diminished, like on national TV, like
Meek Mill,
like there was a period of time. I'm telling you,
Meek Mill ain't looked at the same. Meek Mill was a threat to the throne. When you talk about who the big three is, who was it? Drake, Kendrick, and J. Cole. Well, not J. Cole no more. Drake, Kendrick, and Future. They came in the same time. He was there. He was a part of that. And when he dropped the ghostwriting allegations against Drake, it was like, ooh, Meek just punished Drake. Drake be ghostwriting. Oh, show shit. But when Meek shut up and stopped responding, is this a girl tour? Is this a world tour or this your girl tour? Shout out to my boss, bitches, wife, and niggas.
Yeah.
Drake says Nicki Minaj wifed you.
I'm glad we back here. We ain't putting them in new. Can we move on to Breezy? That's what I want to get to.
And this is where your legacy can take an uptick. These battles do matter. Because right now,
they don't.
Chris Brown dropped a fire disc record. Dropped a fire disc record called I Want All the Smoke. I think that's the name of it. No, Weakest Link. This in Quavo. And it's brutal, man. It's vicious, man. And I don't even know what to say about him. I'm just going to let a little bit of it play because this was the hottest diss record of the year to me. I'm like, Chris Brown had to restore the fucking feelings. This is what battle rap is supposed to be like. Not that weak ass, I'm going to just throw a jab and see what you say back to me and then we'll figure it out. Breezy say, man, fuck all that shit. I'm going for your neck.
You ain't no huncho, nigga. You the weakest link out of your clique. Let's keep it a hundo, nigga. You fuck my ex ho, that's cool. I don't give no fuck, little nigga. Cause I fucked your ex when you was still with a bitch. I'm up, little nigga. They say revenge is sweet. Now think about that shit. Don't let that lie go over your head. I might just sing about that shit. I had a feeling about that dick. There's something sweet about that shit. I got some tea about that dick, but I ain't gonna speak about that shit. I ain't playing chess with a checker player. I'm a ticking bomb on a detonator. I shit on niggas, I'm a defecator. I put Amigo on a ventilator. Stop talking about beating girls. You was beating bitches on the elevator. We seen the taste, that's devastating. You doing bad. Bitch, your music trash. Fashion week, they set me next to your lame ass. I was truly mad.
All I kept and we all saw the pictures of them sitting next to each other in Fashion Week.
He was truly mad. And he looked truly mad.
Huh?
And he looked truly mad in the photo.
You showing off. Quit talking about drugs. You the only pack that I've been smoking on. I just hit my plug, told him come back. I'ma need more than one. Your last album was a weed trade. That's some bullshit that we roll up on. You know what's on. Put you to bed. Night, night, that Sudafed. Show me that I'm tender, bitch. Trying to prove what you just said. RIP, take off. He the only real one that got true respect. Crazy how when he died, everybody really wished it was you instead.
Oh, shit. Out. Ooh. Out. That was a nut shot. That was a nut shot right there. Like that was that That was a nut shot. Like that was I still said that was the only part of all of it that was like that. You were that was uncalled for, man. We need that.
Hey Jack,
you was doing your thing.
You see this shit.
Hey, with battle rapping off the table.
I mean, he showed respect to take off, which is because sometimes rappers disrespect your dead loved one. That's why your cousin dead, bitch. You know, and it's like, whoa, no.
But honestly, there is truth in what he said. Oh. Honestly, there is truth in what he said. Some people did feel that way.
Because they feel like Quavo started this shit.
Right. And then
Takeoff ultimately got shot for.
Right.
I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to acknowledge Chris Brown's lines. And it's like, it's crazy, man. But that is the essence of battle rap. Was that a tad bit far? I'll say this. Those dudes really don't like each other. I think Drake and Kendrick don't like that the other one gets viewed in a certain light. Drake don't like that Kendrick is classic album maker. Kendrick don't like that Drake is the number one artist in the world. So they got their little things they don't like about each other. But Chris Brown and Quavo, that didn't start from music. That started from real life interactions. That started from real life every day. I see you at the show with my old bitch. Now, what you doing? Now, we got an issue. Then you, well, you know, you say you fuck my bitch. So now, this is not, it's not a musical beef.
Yeah.
So the only thing I will say, a Pod Name Kickback does not condone physical violence over lyrics or real street shit being incorporated into the music that could lead to broader street shit. However, Quavo and Chris Brown's responses to each other as of late have been some of the most exciting shit in rap. We all geeking for the Drake and the Future and the Kendrick and the Rick Ross and Kanye, but these other two little niggas, they're giving you everything you wanted. I just, you know, keep it on wax, Sean. Nobody need to be killing nobody over nobody X. Like, chill out.
Shout out to Aunt Karrueche. Girl. Mm-mm-mm.
She got that Badu box.
That sunshine.
She got that Badu box.
That sunshine. They called me like, hey, I ain't never coming home again.
The Badu box. It's Erykah Badu, the queen of the Badu box. Then you got to go with Rihanna. She had Chris and Drake about to kill each other over her. Right. You got to throw Karrueche in there. And now, I don't know, Sweetie might got to get in there because if all these rumors are true, she didn't kind of...
Man, this the only way I feel about it, though. Like, if Quavo, like, man, like, and that's from us being in the DMV where we from, and I found out when I went to the South, like, Southern dudes don't have this code like we have, right? Mm-hmm. And we have a code. We got a code, a bro code. That like if you got a girl, like she off limits for us, right? Your girl, your sister, you know what I mean? Like your family, like it's like that. That's like how we grew up. Like it just don't happen.
A girl you like is off limits to me. You like her. She ain't like you like. Just that you like her. She off limits.
Just because you interested in her, she could hate you. But just because you like her and you my man. You know what I mean? Like that's how I was grown. And Chris is from this area. He from VA. He in the DMV. So when we talk about that, so I get him in the mentality that so he looking and then now we dealing with. So I've been in both worlds, just like you knew. We lived here. We lived there. So we know that Southern dudes and hey man, all my Southern brothers, like I love y'all, but I'm telling y'all. Y'all don't have a cold like we have up here. And this is Chris Brown and Quavo beef right now shows it, right? That because Chris is showing what we feel. If we like you, you off limits. And if you talk to her, then like, no, we can't never be cool again because you doing that showing me that you ain't my boy. And loyalty is everything. Like dudes up here live and die for loyalty. That's how we was raised. And I know Chris was growing up. He grew up here. So everything he know from the dudes before him, his father's father's father, you know what I mean? It been about loyalty in these streets. So I get it. And that's why he bringing the heat. He bringing the heat on his joint.
question for y'all, and this is all the way to the left, but do you think we have as rappers, because I see a lot of always the same females, the same dudes in the same circle. You think they have a big selection, even being a celebrity where they can get anybody that they want? Because it seems like they pretty much stay in the same, you know, vicinity of women and men when you're in that celebrity world.
But to me, that's weirdo shit. Like, I understand there's a perceived limitation. We're all celebrities. We go to these certain parties together. I'm not at the party with those people, so I'm a mingle with people that's in our little celebrity bubble.
Like
in high school, I'm like, I fuck with one girl in my high school. Mm-hmm. All my chicks that I dealt with was at different high schools across the city. I ain't want no girl in my high school. I gotta see you every day. I don't want to do that. So I wouldn't be like that. And then everybody, you know, that's his girlfriend for these 3 months. Now, is she your girlfriend for 3 months? He mugging you every day in the hallway. You mugging him every day in the hallway. You know, it's like, it's time for that shit. Yeah, girls in different schools, hoes in different area codes, as the great Ludacris and Nate Dogg must say, rest in peace. But it is not, you can date women outside of that little group. Like Cameron said the other day, like, I don't do all that going behind different rap niggas and fucking the same girl. They fucking like, I don't want the girl. Usually certain chicks, if I find out you fucked a certain dude, I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
And even if it's my boy or somebody I'm cool with, just you fuck that nigga, I'm good. I'm good, love and joy. You know what I'm saying? Because you look at it like the way women hate Future, right? And I don't have no judgment on Future. I fuck with him, whatever. You know, I was more mad at Sierra. You know what I'm saying? In the Future. But
he transformed the strip club. Shout out to you, bro.
Yeah. But when you look at all the women he's dated and how all those relationships have ended, and then you're a woman and you go date Future next, I'm gonna be like, what she was on? Like, I remember all the producer that Summer Walker used to date. I forget his name now. But what was it?
She was dating London, right?
Yeah. And then this girl, little celebrity girl, her name is Shinsia. I think Shinsia, like, the baddest little joint in the industry right now. She, like, fine as shit to me. And after all the London shit, all the songs Summer made, Shinsia started dating London. And I was like, this bitch got questionable morals. I look at you differently now. This dude and cheated on this girl with everybody she know, and you lined up immediately. I look at you different. So I do think that there's a broader world. And if I was confined to that world, then I would just expand. You know what I'm saying? I don't view it like, well, we're all here. Gotta fuck one of these bitches. I don't. I can just go bowling tomorrow and meet somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that's an excuse. I think that's just corny nigga shit. I know dudes that have tried to fuck girls that I fuck just because I fucked them. That's new old joint. Yeah, she probably bad. Like, whatever esteem they give to me, like, you know, Noopy doing his thing shit. That's one of his joints. You know what I'm saying? And make you want her more because you know she was with me. I found out at different times that I was dating a chick that was also dating like a celebrity athlete. And I just kind of thought like, I didn't think, well, I want to date you more now, but I thought, I'm in good company. Huh. Yeah. A little broke ass new. Okay, right. Look at me. Hey,
That's it right there, though. And I think Tatum said some of the relationship, Tatum, I think they do be for entertainment. But I say it like this, and I've recently got into different spaces in what I'm doing it professionally. And I've seen and made me think about personal and professional relationships. And all of that, you have different circles, right? And so you have in certain circles, you can have some people who, like, they can't deal with what you deal with on this level, right? If I bring you on a level that you can't handle, you know what I mean, and try to, like, you're gonna irritate me or want to leave me because the world I live in is too much for you. You ain't used to it. You don't even know how to operate in this lane. So when you get to this level, I already don't want to date. I only want to date people in the pool that know what it's like to live here, right? That know what it's like to live in this jungle, right? So now I got a pool because I know if you can't live in this jungle, then you can't have a relationship with me. I don't try to live with people who don't understand, you know what I'm saying, that I'm hitting 12 cities, you know what I mean, in 8 days, you know what I mean? So you might not see me for 6 months, you know what I mean? And so I need to deal with somebody who knows what that world looks like, right? So they can understand. So that's why you'll see people, if it's not somebody who was, you know, you're an entertainer too, you in entertainment circle, right? Because you understand, you know what I mean, what it takes to be with somebody like myself, right? With you, the type of capacity that you have to have. Right. So when it comes to that, we'd be like, why these people dating these people and these people? Because they know they've tried to date regular people like us. You know what I'm saying? Some of us be tapping out.
Some of them have, but now a lot of them just be on some groupie shit. They're like,
look at Mary J. Look at Mary J. That was a regular dude. He was a regular dude. And now he eating.
But there's women who have dated dudes who make less than him, and that dude is eating. Yeah. And then dated down.
Absolutely.
A celebrity, but oh, they man, dated down, and now they got to pay. Hold on, man. We all can't talk at the same time. Our mics is going to be just close. But my point is, I'm not giving motherfuckers a pass just because they live a certain life. I live a certain life. I want a certain woman. I've rapped. I've dated IG models, this video vixens, and necking on every page. Like, everybody can't deal with what everybody deal with. That is a fact. But that does not mean you go deal with the same five chicks. It don't mean that. And that's where the bullshit come in. Because it's still 500 of them.
Right.
Y'all, they be dating the same five girls. That ain't nothing but just, like, groupie shit. And I don't mean a girl a groupie. I mean a dude's a groupie. Why the fuck y'all all dating the same five? Dog. You know how many... Yeah, exactly. Like Joe Budden ex Tahiri. I don't even want to do that to a woman. I'll just say, you see situations where women date all of the hot guys of that moment. And if you're the hot guy of that moment, why are you going back to that one girl that everybody dated? The only time it made sense to me a little bit was Superhead. Because
Superhead,
I mean, what the fuck? I think we're all going to take at least a chance on that one. But even her, look at the list of people she could expose. And people are still signing up. In 2024, people are signing up for the Superhead experience, knowing she's going to write a book about it.
And that's like Cat Stacks back in the day.
Like Cat Stacks.
Can that be the don't dumb award for anybody?
Everybody relax.
Anybody who went after her after you knew who she was, like, it's still, that's like, you know what I mean? It's just like you can stick your hand in this hole. It's gonna feel good for 10 seconds, but it's gonna hurt afterwards.
Right.
Yeah. Nah.
Jesus, but I tell you what, I do. We are gonna move on because I want to get y'all thoughts on this shit. Randy, actually, you brought this to me one day, and it was like the minute you told, it's like the algorithm. The minute you told me about this shit, it showed up everywhere. And I'm like, damn, this is a thing, and this is the soft guy era.
Soft guy era.
I want to play a part of this because I'm not 100% sure I know what it is, okay. But.
I look at it and I say, you know, it was so good to see you and everything. She don't pick up the bill. And she said, oh, you're not going to pay for it? I said, what? Drizzle, drizzle. I'm not going to pay for anything. That's giving me an ick. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you should be paying for the bill. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I got ready. Like, my suit costs like thousands of dollars. I got ready for you. My cologne costs a couple thousand. Like, I got ready and showed up. Like, I don't know what you're on, but I'm in my soft guy era, drizzle, drizzle. So I'm just trying to make sure that you understand that what's happening here is that you need to really put out. I don't know really what you have to offer. You could just say you're broke, but you could just say you're broke because I got a maid, I got a chef, I got an assistant. I don't really need a woman. So if you're broke, you can just say so, you know? But I have to go ahead and block her. I was not going back home with her. You know, if you're in your soft guy era, continue to be in your soft guy era because we are not lowering our standards, we will find someone who would do better.
A lot of time and consideration. I've now decided to enlist and take my talents to the soft guy era. I'm done with the bare minimum. Deal's already done. Contract's been signed. I'm tall, I'm dark skinned, I'm athletic, and I just can't be giving out this sexy chocolate for free. If you're not putting anything in my hands, I'm not putting anything in you. And on to better news, I've already found myself a provider.
All right, this soft guy era shit. It's funny to me. But two, I've been saying for a little over a year now that, about 2-3 years now, that men and women have reversed roles. It's like women want to be fuckboys and men want to be bad bitches. Women want to literally, I've seen women struggle with the fact of trying to explain, I just want to fuck a bunch of niggas. And I don't want to deal with nobody's feelings about it. And I was like, but they couldn't articulate it because they didn't really understand what they were saying. And then I'm like, so you want to do what? And what's the issue? And how come you can't do what you want to do? Well, who's what? And it basically boiled down to they want to be fuckboys. And I'm not speaking of all women. It's never all. But this change in women is like, we want to do what we want to do. We want to be as sexual as we want. We don't want to be accountable. If you listen to all the little chicks, Saweetie and all their music, that's all they're talking about is how they got a bunch of different niggas. They fuck him and don't call them back. They're like how men were in the 90s and 2000s. They have become the worst version of us. They said, like, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. But you imitating a part of us, you hate it. You call it fuckboy behavior. So you are trying to be the worst of us. That is your goal now. I'm going to be the worst version of a man I could be as a woman. Weird. Men in their soft guy era, the same shit he's saying, if you're broke, just say that. If you don't have any money to pay for dinner, then maybe you should date somebody in your tax bracket. That's what women say. Like women who want their justification for wanting a six-figure nigga and all this shit, he is saying the exact same things they're saying. The exact same thing dudes are saying about, like, if she get caught up in her feelings, that's her feelings. That's what women are saying now. It's like they are reading each other's script. And I hate that. I find this shit particularly funny, but I hate that we are becoming the person that hurt us. If the girl that hurt you said you had to make six figures and you had to do this and you did that, and now you're looking at women like, well, are you gonna buy my dinner? If not, I can go somewhere else. It's like, it is the irony in a complete role reversal while using each other's words. I'm sitting here like, y'all know y'all sound like each other. You sound like men from 5 years ago. You sound like women from 5 years ago. Are y'all doing it on purpose? Are you deliberately like, I'm going to be the bad bitch. I'm going to be the fuck boy. Is that Before I come to you, Jaggy, Randy, you don't want to hit me to this shit. What the fuck did you think when you saw it? Like, what was going? Do you see where I'm coming from, or do you see a total different angle?
Well, I've seen it a different, and since it's come out, it's been evolving, right? And so I think it kind of started because I think it was some chick back on YouTube a while ago who did this sprinkle talking about how she don't date broke dudes, right? So that's where it started with the sprinkle with her talking about how she don't date dudes who broke. So dude, the drizzle is really a shot back at her for the sprinkle, right? So that's the drizzle part, right? So it's a shot back to. So it started, and he kind of got on it, and the dude, and the one we listened to wasn't the original dude who did it. He like the second one, but the original dude who responded to the sprinkle was saying that, look, like we the same way. Like if y'all, it's men now, we in the era where like y'all want dudes to take care of y'all. We looking for women who financially stable, you know what I mean? Who can take me, you know what I mean? To a Ruth's Chris or, you know what I mean? Or Gordon Ramsay's, you know what I mean? Or fly me to London, you know what I'm saying? and it's all on her. But the soft guy era really was about like self-care. And like dudes, like with expressing, it started with more dudes expressing their feminine side of what was considered to be femininity, right? With us getting facials and, you know what I mean? And all the things that those self-care things that women generally did that you ain't hear about men getting mani-pedis and, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. That was the that's what soft guy era started at. It was like, it's dudes, like, that's where we at now. You know, like, we on the mani-pedis. You know what I'm saying? We on with that. We, like, we do those. We going to the, like, now we got boutique. We got boutiques now. Remember, it used to be where we go, used to be barbershops. Now it's boutiques. And matter of fact, New, you was the first person that took me to a boutique barbershop. You know what I'm saying? That's soft guy era stuff, right? Because you know, back in our, like, regular dudes, we go to a regular barbershop, a bunch of dudes sitting out in the open. The boutique joint, like, yeah, we getting hot tiles on the face and they wash it, get your hair washed and all that good stuff. Yeah, that's soft guy era. But so it depends on what you're talking about. It's different versions. If you're talking about the women taking care of dudes, and you know, I love all my Georgia peaches, but you know, Georgia been they've been the cake mama capital of the world, like, since I've known. and when I say that, I've got cousins now. I love y'all.
Let me talk about my cousins on here.
I ain't gonna even say it. But look, it's been a cake mama. Hey, my phone be blowing up. So if I say that, I'm gonna say I ain't gonna even do it. But cake mama capital world. If y'all know what a cake mama is, like, Google it. Google it. Come on, Jackie. Where you stand on this?
Make me want some of that cake over there with New. I agree with Randy about the soft guy era. But even with the whole thing with the back and forth of the women, it's like, who are y'all doing this for? Are you just battling because you just have this hatred toward men, or have this hatred toward women, or are you really doing it for yourself? I just wish we could get back to where we learn each other and not have these lists of standards, because if...
Oh. You lost her again. If I was Jackie, if I was in my soft girl era, I think she would be saying, it's like, nah. But
Jackie, I'd be saying, I need to call my service provider because my internet sucks. But
I think you keep kicking me out. No, you keep kicking me out for a reason.
Why you know? I'm on that, man.
Era. I'm in my soft guy era. I
don't know where I got cut off, but I just wish we go back to where we learn each other, where it's, shoot, I remember just getting excited to go on a date. It didn't care where we took me. It didn't care, you know, I wasn't asking for nothing because I was trying to get ready for myself to be my best for him. So it wasn't a list of things that I wanted before the date, like some of these women I've heard on social media.
I can tell you what they do. They asked me to get her whole house deep cleaned before the first date. I was like, ma'am?
What?
You talking to me? Like, who are you talking to? Like, why would I? Why? Wow. And this is like $1,000 to get this shit done. I'm like, why?
These requests are giving a pussy first before you ask. She just. Requests, I'm sorry, women. These requests are ridiculous. You should be able, just like a man wants to see if a woman can handle her own, you should be able to handle your own while getting ready for a date. Just like you want to look at a man and know that he can handle his own. If you have a flat tire, he'd be able to get out there and change your tire and not have to call a whole nother man to do it. I mean, you just, it's been ridiculous, because even on the flip side, men used to take the time to, he knew what restaurant to take her to because he researched. He knew what she liked. He knew her favorite food. He knew her favorite color. So things, dynamics have changed. And I just think this generation is so wrapped up in social media and looking to social media for therapy and advice, and they're getting the wrong advice at times.
No, yeah, everybody. I think social media is the problem. That's what it's setting the standard, right? And people look, and I think Tatum just said programs and agendas put in place, and a lot of these, like, I even think, like, even with this soft guy era thing, to be honest, I feel like it's some stuff that was set up just so we can talk about it. Give us something to talk about, because yeah. Like. And like, it really, like, come on.
Yeah, and
what's wrong with her house?
What's wrong with her house that costs $1,000 to clean it? She don't need to be dating, she need to be cleaning. I know that's right. Well, she had a very nice home. She had a very huge home, but it was just like, but you want a deep clean, like. So what happened? Give the context real quick, and this ain't to shoot her no bill. Fuck her. She was on some weird shit, but I was telling her how I had a cleaning service to clean my place. I didn't really clean my place on my own. I hired somebody, and she's like, "Oh, you should send them to me before our date." Let's say it was Friday, and then they could do this and do that and do that. And but I need a deep clean, you know, with this square footage. How much do you pay for that? Okay, well, with this and with the deep clean part, and then she was giving me an idea what she thought the prices would be. And I was sitting there like, if it was $10, I wouldn't do it. Why am I getting your house clean? And I told her, so I was like, I don't want no sugar, baby. Like, I don't know what you do. I thought this was different, but I don't want that. And now I will be totally honest. She looked like she should have had a sugar daddy. She was special. Like that was bad. That is probably the most attractive woman to ever give me her phone number. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna hold you. I ain't gonna, you know, for whatever you know that's worth.
I don't even doubt it. If she would ask for $1,000 before the date, like, yeah, you gotta know that you look like something to know that you asking for a rack and we ain't even done that. And you are like, look, I'm gonna go out with you, but pay this bill, you know, and we
And then take me out.
Then I'm gonna be and then come take me to a spot tomorrow.
Not my spot. Yeah. Not
We had 1,200 before I eat a meal, before I even get a meal.
Hey, but take me to a spot. But yeah, and yeah, I agree. They do promote a lot of this stuff too. We create stuff just to create lanes, right? So now, like, if we create this beef, now I just created a stream. Because now I'm getting people to talk about this foolishness that I just put something out there to make people talk about, right? That really ain't a thing. It's something that just happens all the time, you know, that it been happening for years. The people who do it is women who like to take care of dudes, right? Is there are some out there that's what they like to do. Hey, like if you're looking for a platonic friend in DMV that you want to take care of, look me up, man, up Monday. But there, all I'm saying, but there are women who don't that, and so they've been doing that for years. So this soft guy era stuff y'all talking about, they've been doing this, like, that's how they roll. They was born. It's generations of them. So but when we talk about stuff like this, we create these lanes. And then now you get a relationship coach now who's going to tell you how to avoid the soft guy dudes. Like, watch. In 2 weeks, it's going to be a soft guy expert. Watch. He's going to come out. He's going to be telling you how to avoid the soft guys. If you suffer from being a soft guy, I can help you be better.
Mm-hmm. The passport bros going all the way back to Kevin Samuels and everybody else. I forget the little dude that was the coach for women, but he was cheating on his wife the whole time. He had her with the bonnet on.
And was it Derrick Jackson?
Derrick Jackson. It's all these clowns, man. And the only, I don't give necessarily validity to this, but the hint of truth that exists is that I have been saying for years, men are becoming, they want to be bad bitches. I see it. And women want to be fuckboys. I see it. This ain't propaganda. I'm not trying to get nothing out of this shit. It's what I see with my own eyes. I have sat down and talked, and because I love women, like, I don't just like pussy. I actually love women, and I talk to women often, and sometimes some of my lady friends, I'm like, I'm not your gay bestie. Like, I talk a lot, but I'm like, you could have saved that part. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep some of that shit to yourself. But I love women. I love being around, being around women, talking to women. My favorite people to talk to. You know what I'm saying? But I'm sitting there like, I'm looking at your mindset. And I know you are acting like the dude you told me to hurt you. The dude you was crying over. The dude you was so hurt about. You're doing all of this stuff to the new dude. You are the fuckboy in this situation. But I guess it's empowering to be like, well, dude played me like this, so I'm gonna play the next dude like this. And it's like, That's going backwards. That's regressing, baby. Like, you're acting like the dude that hurt you. There's no progress in that. And I see men doing the same thing. Like, I want to be taking a dinner. I'm like, oh, a girl got you for a couple of dinners, huh? And now you mad. Now everybody got to take you to dinner because you didn't get your little check on 2-3 dinners and ain't get no pussy. Now you want everybody got to take you to dinner now. I want everybody to be their best self, know their value, know their worth, and stand on it. Set your boundaries and stand on it.
Yep.
But we got to cut some of the corny shit out, though. And I think that's what gets left. That's what gets lost in translation. New does love women. I think that's what gets lost in translation is if you are now the fuck boy that hurt you, or if you are now the bad bitch that hurt you, then obviously you're hurting somebody else. Right. And is that your real goal?
And you're not healing.
And you're not healing. And it's like, it's too much. I think, shit. We might end this episode, you're not healing. Because I think that is the goal. Like, when I see on Facebook, girls have been post like, all men report to the post. How come y'all don't respect women? And it's like, why is that your post?
Yeah.
Why all men don't respect women? Like, what the fuck kind of post is that? Or the men are like, all women that cheat on men report to this post. Oh, it's something, always something negative. And they're like calling each other out. And I'm like, that's all y'all do.
It's an engagement post. They want engagement.
Yeah, but see, my engagement post be like, I made a post the other day. How many people over the age of 18 has life insurance? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to engage in shit like that. Right. You know what I'm saying? What countries are you going to this year? List your next destination. Their engagement is on how they hate each other.
Yeah. But, man, it you said it, though, Noo. It come down to if everybody knows their boundaries and know what they want and what they're looking for, then all of these and this is a trend that people are talking about. And if you trying to follow the dating trends, then you're gonna fall into the trends of what happened when you follow trends, right? When you trends come and they go. So if you following the dating trends, then guess what? Your relationships is gonna coming some up. Of them gonna come and some of them gonna go. Right, no, but you know, and Meek on here too. She said it right. Hurt people, and Jackie said it. Like, people need to be healed and know you good before you trying to like date and be with people. And if you know somebody ain't what you want, like, roll out. Don't we talked about it a couple of podcasts ago? Don't lower your standards if you know that ain't something that you want. You know what I mean? And if you talking to somebody and you see that, like, hey, we ain't vibing. You not going where I want to go or where I want to be. You know what I mean? And Tatum said it, like, take accountability and be like, hey, it was nice. We had some good times. We might be, you know, friends, but ain't nothing romantic happening, boo. You know what I mean? So keep doing you. I'm going to keep doing me.
And that is the ultimate message, Randy, because that is my message, right? That those exact words take us to our next story. You keep doing you. How you say it, Randy? What you just said?
You keep doing you. I'm going to keep doing me. Yeah.
Come on.
It's the mayor. Our what the fuck story of the week. On April 17th, 2024, my birthday, this little heifer, Ashanti.
Oh, she a heifer now.
she definitely a heifer. Announces that she's pregnant on my birthday? That's spiteful. You became the man that hurt you, Ashanti. You became the man that hurt you. And she's engaged to Nelly. All of this on my birthday. Not the day before. Huh?
We already knew all this.
But why she make the announcement on my birthday? That's petty. That's petty larceny.
Can't let you know it's over. It's over.
It is definitely over. It's definitely over.
So it's over. I've heard this from you before. It's over. Hey, and you took her back. Is it over for real this time?
I'm gonna show y'all right now. This how I feel about this. What my song? Yeah, I'm on. I'm on to show y'all. You gonna know?
Hey, For y'all maybe new listeners, like him and Ashanti been off and on their whole life.
Exactly. She about to catch these balls.
His whole life. He quit her and then he love her again.
but she about to get these damn hip hop bars, man. Watch this shit. She about to get these balls.
I hope your next man treat you way worse than I did. And I hope he get you pregnant with an ugly ass kissy. You appreciate me.
Run that back.
I hope your next man treat you way worse than I did. And I hope he get you pregnant with an ugly ass kissy. You appreciate me. Maybe then you will appreciate me. Word.
That's right. I hope you have an ugly ass kid. That's what I said. Can't believe she would do this on my birthday. I was just minding my business, enjoying my birthday. And then she pulled this. Jackie, get my back, Jackie. Have my back.
Lou, if I find out you in any of them wedding pictures sneaking around in the hospital, it's going to be me and you. I'll be like, oh, he done lost it.
Oh man! Well, if you guys don't know, just so you know, for the record, Ashanti announced on my birthday, still crazy, that her and Nelly are having a child, and they are now engaged. And if you've watched the podcast over the last 12 years, you know that Ashanti is a woman I've grown quite fond of. She has taken time out of her busy day to wish me happy birthday. She has sent me shout outs in multiple videos. And for her to blindside me when I thought we was building something in my soft guy era, for her to blindside me like this, and just to announce that she's engaged to a whole nigga and got a whole baby on the way, as I've been saving myself for her, it just hurt, man. It just hurt. It was like, you asked me about my high and low of the week?
You are that's Irv my low. Yeah, they have a pity party.
Me and Irv.
Because you know he hurt too. Yeah, I might be able to get a
sneak. I'm disgusted. But actually, real talk though, I'm very happy for Ashanti and Nelly. I know what it's like to be with somebody you think might be the one and it just don't work and you kind of stuck like, why didn't that work? And then you reconcile and it feel right. You're like, oh shit. So I'm happy for that. And I support that. And I appreciate that. But she's no longer my celebrity crush. She about it.
So it's official. We can put it on record.
It's on record.
4/21 of 2024 of the year of our Lord.
I will not miss Ashanti on this podcast again.
Him and Ashanti are done to never be again.
It's Chris Thomas Rap City. It's a wrap. It's over. I would not mention her name for no one. If she comes up, I'll refer to her as Voldemort. The name that should not be spoken.
Everybody who listening, if he go back on it, y'all fry him on the show. Yeah. Fry him.
Fry the crap out of him because we didn't heard this before time and time again.
I'm over it, man. I did nothing to deserve this. You think that I would put out something like this on Ashanti's birthday? I got class. You know what, Ashanti?
You are
school lovely. On Sunday, Ashanti. No class.
Tried it. I don't believe it.
Hey, it's over. Right. It's a wrap.
You're right, Clarissa. He's going to be crushing on her again.
Right.
Wait a minute. Hold up. I'm going to be crushing again tomorrow morning. Right. Hey, no. This is real. It's over. It's over. It's like the fat lady who came on to say, actually, Ashanti's fat now, so she came on to say.
Oh, Danny took a shot. It might be. I hadn't heard him do that before.
On my birthday?
Oh, my gosh.
They had the whole year to make your announcement. And you act like she don't know what my birthday is? She wished you happy birthday before.
She gonna name the baby New.
You did. Oh,
they better relax. Nelly, I'll get Chingy. You better relax. I had Chinky come up here and set you straight. But man, let's move on because I don't, this is my show. I don't have to endure her hateful ways for longer than a short segment. Yeah, you don't even get a whole segment, Ashanti. Fuck up out of here, Ashanti.
Right. So dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Sp- speaking of someone else who's dumb, like Ashanti's dumb, this is a wild story. Jonte Porter, brother of Michael Porter Jr., the place for the Denver Nuggets, played for the Toronto Raptors, and he's betting on games that he's playing in. And so that he doesn't, and he's not playing in certain games so he can ensure that he doesn't score but a certain amount of points. And according to this, he won like $27,000. But in doing this, he now has a lifetime ban from the NBA. He can never play another game again. His NBA career has netted him $2.6 million. He let a $21,000 bet cost him in excess of $2.63 million. And it's like, some people sacrifice what they want the most for what they want right now. And he is the definition of that. You sacrifice your NBA career for essentially $21,000 when you're a millionaire? Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I try not to just call people dumb. Well, once a week during this segment, I do call them dumb. But as a general rule, I try not to call people dumb. But this has got to be the dumbest shit I have ever seen. Like, Jackie, you're the mother of the podcast. Can you have something soft guy era for him that you can say that's nice?
Definitely professional help. I think he has a gambling problem. Sometimes when things don't add up, it's something deeper. It was probably a thing where people probably were talking and telling him not to do it, and he's just, hey, his vice is his vice.
Only if he owed money or something. He just had to do that because of his debt. I don't know. What you think, Randy?
Now, I've had a roommate, and I've got a good friend now who, like, my brother, and we go to Vegas every year for our birthdays. Right. And he's a true gambler. Right. And my one Meek, who on here with my sister, she's a true gambler. And I know from people who gamble, right, like they just love to gamble. And I'm first, let me say this about, there is the line between gambling, sports betting, and sports. Like, there's a lot of lines that need to be made clear. Because now, even with players, because the rules are changing, and some of the stuff that used to be illegal is not illegal now. Some of the stuff that used to be illegal is now legal now, and stuff keep changing, right? Not saying that he still did a dumb move, but it's still, I'm saying, besides all of that, like, it is a lot of gray lines between sports betting and sports, with people making a whole lot of money, you know what I mean, off these guys. But if you're a gambler, think, if I'm a compulsive gambler and I love to gamble, and when you love to gamble, the odds are always what you always want to play. That's always enticing. You do it for the thrill. Any of the gamblers out here, y'all watching, y'all listening, y'all know, it is always the thrill, the rush of doing it. So it doesn't, the matter that it was 21,000 versus millions did not matter. It was the fact that the adrenaline rush that I'm gambling my career, right?
That's probably even more.
I'm gambling my career, right? So to a gambler, it's all a gamble. So for his mindset, is none is bigger. It weighs the same amount to me, because I'm still making a gamble for something that I'm believing that I could win. Because he probably, how many games that he probably already won that he didn't get caught for? Right, they probably still don't know about and may come out later. But right. You know, it comes down to still having that mindset that, like, you either choose something like for your future or you choose it for the now. And the gambler always going for the right and the now, and that's what he did. So now, you know, I probably see him in Vegas. You know what I mean? My birthday next year. I'm gonna sit down next to him. I think he know how to win. Outside of the NBA, I think
we're gonna see.
That's where he at now for life,
right? Jackie, this your fiance. He done threw away his NBA career because he want to gamble. Where you at with it?
I don't think we'd be a fiance if he had a gambling problem.
Because we gonna already look, that's already gonna be a red flag for me.
Okay, okay.
I don't know, Jagger. Now, if he you said that's a red flag, but you riding in the Bentley to the casino.
That don't mean
we drive. We going to the casino in the Bentley. You gonna be like, you know what? I love this Bentley, but you have a problem. Let me out.
And look at all the stuff she put up with B. Mickey from BMF. Remember all the stuff she put up with B. Mickey?
You know what?
Yeah. I forgot about the BMF connection. I forgot about it.
So you put up with all that with B. Mickey, I mean, who knows?
We got a deep comment in chat right there.
If you're addicted to something that's cunning and baffling and goes from want to need, and once that happens, the consequences are inconsequential.
Fact.
That's a fact. I mean, I don't want to really get on my Andrew Tate shit, but I feel like I have to. Addiction, you know, is quote unquote a disease, and it is quote unquote a weakness. And if you let your addiction ruin your life, then I mean, there's just consequences to it. I know people who didn't let their addiction ruin their life. So there's some they can fight, some they can't. I understand that. And I'm sympathetic and empathetic to people who have things they struggle with. We all struggle with something. I struggle with shit, so I'm not holier than thou. But I'm not going to have $3 million in my hand and fuck it all up for $20,000. That I'm not doing. And that I don't have sympathy for. But I do know people fuck up their whole life for less.
But see, and that's
their whole life for a fat ass. So
they're not, as a gambler, they're not thinking I have $3 million over here and I'm a gambler. They're all they thinking is I'm gonna win.
And that's the sickness. That's the sickness. That's the sickness.
The consequences are insequential. It's a gamble. I'm gambling.
It's the weakness though, and that's why you get the Don't Be Dumb Award, because this is still dumb. I'm not going to have a whole bunch of sympathy and empathy for this. We're not going to make everybody a victim. Nah, this nigga's stupid.
Another award that I heard.
Oh, yeah, he's still stupid. You know what I mean? I'm just saying is where the behavior, you know what I mean, comes from.
Yeah, so, but yeah,
you know still, what I mean? But still no, it's still, stupid. Yeah, it's still stupid.
And
he earned his award. Like, he deserves it.
Facts.
Another dumb award we got to give out.
Well, yeah, exactly. So somebody got to do something dumb. But now let's get into somebody who did something good, something smart. How about that?
If it's sports, if it's fashion, if it's music, if it's hustling, whatever, you're on a marathon, you know something.
If you're on your marathon, you're doing your thing. 50 Cent just launched his $956,000 square feet film studio, which is now the second biggest Black-owned production studio in the world.
That's dope.
Since Shreveport, Louisiana. He's changing the economy there. Like, literally changing the economy there by building the studio. There are going to be so many people that, you know, that drive the tour bus. There's so many people that cook in that area. So many restaurants are going to be available. So many new housing developments are going to have to be close by hotels so the actors can work out of that studio. That's crazy. This 50 Cent from the block. Rapping and doing crazy shit. Now he got, next to Tyler Perry, of course, here in Georgia, the second largest Black-owned studio for all. He can tell all the Jackie stories, all her BMF stories, her gym stories. He can tell all Jackie shit now. He got the studio for it. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to have Big Meech party there when he get out next year.
Facts. And you're the live here. Jackie's the one.
We got it. And we got invites because we know Jackie.
Somebody said that 50 is now the male Tyler Perry.
They've been saying that.
50 said, Tyler, well, fuck y'all up. Y'all better leave Tyler alone.
Right. Look, well, we saying it's the second biggest. It's also the second. So, there are only two. It's Tyler's and his, right?
Man.
But hey, I ain't taking nothing from it. But look, like, we in there.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling good about that, man. Like, I love to see Black excellence and achievement. That's why every week we do a Nipsey Hussle Award. That is for our people that is kicking ass in whatever industry it happens to be. And now that we've talked about it a little bit, I do want to give Jackie a chance to update us on her friends and family, because the latest episode of BMF just dropped. So, Jackie, I'm going to throw it over to you. What's up with your crew? What part of the story are we in? Is this when you first came around? Or had you been around for 5 years? Where are we at?
Well, things are getting hectic, as y'all can see on BMF. Everybody's closing in. As y'all see, the Red Dogs, the MKs, just Red everybody. And in the midst of everybody closing in, Charles trying to get his woman back. Look, he is fighting, okay? He is. Said, fuck that doctor, okay?
No bullshit. He's like, I know how to get my bitch back.
Right.
He's like, fighting.
Yeah. The advantage of I live in a house. That's my advantage.
Charles is doing this thing. Meech and Terry. I like what's going on right now. I like it feels like, because at some point we got to see them really winning. And right. It feels like we're going into that, because now Meech knows what so-and-so trying to do because the little stripper girl told him. So you kind of a little, you know, maybe a step ahead of the game. This hasn't been the best season. I mean, I don't know how it was to actually live it, Jackie, but watch this part play back. And this ain't the best season. You know what I'm saying?
And just like life, you have your ups and downs. You have your stagnant moments. So, I mean, you still gotta stay on that ride and see what's gonna happen.
That's right, ladies, stay on that ride.
Now, I want y'all's opinion. Now, would y'all have handled how T handled his little sister in the car with those boys? Would you have handled the same way he did?
I've done that before. So,
Hey, look. I think Jamaica, she might still be up. No, I think three of my sisters still on here. They've had it done to them. I know Jamaica's still on here. Like, she had definitely, I've definitely done it to like numerous boyfriends of hers. Like, she's been a victim to that exact type of thing has happened to her. So 1,000%, yes. Like, when you see your little sister in a place that, like, you don't care. Ain't nobody explaining nothing to you. Like, right. My little sister in a car, it don't look right. Like, you getting out, you going home. Like, nah, ain't that, that's all it is. And, like, it's little dudes, like, I beat all y'all up, like, right now. Like, she getting out the car. That's all it is. And y'all better, hey, look, y'all better roll out. Cause
let us know.
She'll tell you, like, how many of your boyfriends, like, I don't fuck or ran off. Like, they know I don't play. Like, go in the house. Like, you ain't here to see my little. You ain't here to see my sister. Like, go home. And you know that. So I'm with it. It's real. And talking about like this a bad season. Like, it's telling a story, right? So. It might be some stuff we don't like, but it's part of the story.
The wrong Tupac. They had a Death Row Tupac in the 94 scene.
That was a travesty. That was a travesty. And the fact that 50, now that you got a studio, I'ma tell you as a fan, I expect better casting. That type of casting, that's the most horrible casting of him in like. That can't happen, 50. Like, you got your own joint. Like, no, I'm kind of like your daddy. Like, I have been. That can't happen. That can't happen, 50. Now you got your own studio, the second black owned studio in the world. Now look, like, I'm sorry, I gotta go back to that. Now we got two brothers who getting that Hollywood money. Hollywood has kept us locked out of this for so long that now, like, the repercussions of us having two studios means so many streams that now we as a people can get into. Like, this, like, that's huge. People, like, we don't even say it's gonna change it's economic impact that's changing that. Like, the way Tyler did Atlanta, because now that's on the tour, gonna be on the tour now in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Hey, I love to go next Essen Festival. Like, that's on the tour. Like, we stopping past the studio. Let's see what 50 Studio look like.
The bullshit. And I haven't been doing Essen Fest, but I go to New Orleans and just, you know, walk down the street and get my hand grenade and be sipping and acting ass. Now I got to make my way over to Shreveport so I can see the studio. So hey, yeah, man.
Bourbon Street is jumping 24/7, 365.
Let me see. So before we get up out of here, oh, I gotta pay the drop. I like that joke. Where is it? My 1980s music.
This is a fantastic album, man. Let me borrow it.
No, my brother. You've got to buy your own.
No, my brother. But I do want to let y'all know, we talked about Metro Boomin, Like That, the remix with Kanye West is available on like YouTube. It's not on streaming sites yet. Drake put Push Ups available on streaming sites. Rick Ross's Champagne Moments, his diss to Drake, is on streaming sites. Nicki Minaj did a remix to Fuck This Club Up with Travis Scott, Saweetie, and some fucking body else. That's out now. Bryson Tiller's new album is out. I would check it out. He kind of did his thing on this one, that little Persuasion song. So instead of him saying like he wants some pussy, he be like, I want that Persuasion. And then he got, who's on the song? Victoria Monet. Instead of her saying she want that dick, she be like, I want that decision to be with you. So they doing all these word plays, but it's a freaky song. But they just, clever. They ain't gotta be, put my dick in your mouth. You know what I'm saying? They ain't gotta be that all the time. And not that I'm against that. I'm a full supporter of Akinelli's Put It In Your Mouth. Yeah, but this was also creative and I enjoyed it because it's like, give us something different. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's so raw. I think one thing that got lost in this is Big Sean put out a single called Precision a couple weeks ago, which is fire. He got the beat to 3-6 Mafia, popping my collar. That's a really good song. Sir new project dropped. His song You sounds like a DC DMV Raheem Devon remake. It's some of his Raheem's music, but the song, you know what? I will play a little bit of this. It's such a good song to me, but I'm a big Raheem Devon fan. And it's like service.
DMV.
Would you look at those? So amazing. I throw my hands up to the ceiling. It's some praise to heaven made you.
Y'all check that out, man. That Sir Project. Right. Check it out.
That's Sir. Hey, I love Sir. Sir is fire. He is fire. Yeah. I didn't know he had a new one out. Like, check his joints out.
Hell yeah. Oh, Dixon. Y'all listen to Dixon? R&B-ish Dixon. This song is called Friends. Just real quick.
Since you keeping tabs, I said run it up. Since I've been in my bag, you been acting up. I ain't even mad, cause you bad as fuck. Ain't enough.
But it's a vibe, it's a vibe. I'm trying to, fucking with it?
I'm fucking with it.
I'm just trying to give y'all a little something. I don't want to play too much, and then they be trying to ban us from music streaming platforms and shit. But
less than 10 seconds, you good.
Right. And before we get up out of here, I know the NBA playoffs have started. I predicted it would be the Celtics over the Suns in the finals. I'm not as convinced the Suns still gonna make it. And I chose that because those are two Wizards. We traded Kristaps Porzingis to Boston. We traded Bradley Beal to Phoenix. And I was like, watch those two make the fucking finals. The pieces we give away for nothing are going to be the pieces that celebrate. Phoenix got me like, maybe not. But Boston is still looking dominant. And I don't have – the East is Boston's to lose. I think Boston got it. I think Boston winning everything this year, to be honest. But I thought they would play Phoenix in the finals. Right now, if I would have changed my answer, I'd probably go with Denver. Because I'm like, I should have picked them to begin with. They won last year. But I really had faith in Bill doing this thing in Phoenix. So I'm gonna stick with it. I'm gonna go down with the ship. Last to leave the ship is captain. But that's who I got in the finals as we start this NBA playoffs. What you see, Randy? Who you got in the finals? Hey,
I see it now that Denver gotta get knocked off. Cause like for real, the Joker just like he just the best, he playing the best ball in the NBA right now, period. And when Denver hitting, like, they just can't be beat. right? Like Lakers had a chance last night, but then you know they let up, and then Joker do what he do. You know what I mean? I think for Boston, I don't know if they've done enough that they can win the East, and they should win the East, but I don't see them beating a Phoenix or a Denver if they beat them in the playoffs. I don't see it. Now Phoenix, and I think if Phoenix don't do it this year, they're gonna do it next year. I think it's just been that Booker, Beal, and Durant hadn't been on the court enough together. When they learn how to play together, come on, man. All three of them, you can't tell me there's no way that them can't beat everybody.
And what if they figure it out in the playoffs?
If they figure it out, then like I think they unstoppable. Like seriously, even as bad as Joker and everybody else, I think when them three, I think they can be the big three of all big threes when they figure out how to play together. Like they all, like Durant is an unstoppable shooter. Booker is just ridiculous. Like if you look at like yesterday, one of his reverse layup when he did the one-on-one from the corner, just show you like, and now they got three dudes who can make their own shot. Like Booker can take anybody one-on-one. Bill, we watched him doing in DC for how many years? He was the only person we had that could take somebody to the rack. You know what I'm saying? And still do it. And Durant is probably one of the best shooters and scorers in the NBA ever. Hall of Fame, first ballot, right? First. So I was like, and Booker probably gonna follow him if he keep doing like Booker been banging since day one. You know what I mean? And Bill too. So like they get it together, like they should do it, but we'll see. They ain't doing it now. When I was watching yesterday, I was like, is Minnesota this good? Or like, because Minnesota stomped them yesterday. And I was like, whoa. They ain't just lose. They got stomped. Yeah. Like you can get beat and then you get stomped. Somebody beat you down and they stomp you. That's like an extra. That's an extra. And they got stomped. They got stomped that game, man.
Jack, where you at? Who you looking towards?
I don't really watch basketball like that.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
Okay. You know, I've been on what we supposed to talk about, the secrets of Playboy. I want to know y'all.
Let's close out with the secrets of Playboy. What new secrets are you going to tell us that's going to offend us?
I'm not offending y'all. I'm trying to figure out what do y'all feel about it.
I don't know enough yet. I got to keep going. I'm five. Okay, I think I'm six in now, but you know what I mean? I'm six episodes in. But I did what one thing that changed. I did think that it was all, it's a good show. I did think that it was all just banging going on in the Playboy Mansion, and it's a lot more, you know what I mean? But hey, Hef was pulling some strings, man. Like
he did.
Yeah. We're gonna have to break it down one show. It got two seasons out of it. Like yeah. I gotta get through everything that's out before I can give my summation. But I'm seeing different things. Like Don Cornelius was doing more than Soul Train, you know what I'm saying? And, mm-hmm. Yes. And Bill Cosby was a
y'all gotta tune in. Y'all gotta
before
tune in.
Jell-O Pudding Pops was.
Man, I want to thank y'all for tuning in each and every week. You know, we are constantly charting in different countries and in the United States on Pod Name Kickback. Please like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Follow the Facebook page. Make sure you're here every Sunday night at 7 p.m. if you want to be a part of the podcast, or you can tune in on Monday to the audio or the video on YouTube. Wherever you get podcasts, you can just listen and enjoy it while you start your week. We're always going to try to give you the top stories of the week, but also that kickback conversation. We will zero in on what I call an idea, not a topic, an idea. We discuss and have some intelligent conversation. We are not the gossip blog. We are not just here to tell you what rappers diss each other. We got a lot more to say because we are not a monolith. You know what I'm saying? Like we are not just about this or just about that. Try to give you a little bit of everything. And as you're going into the deeper into the spring and into the summer, I believe we'll be able to do even more. I want to thank y'all for 12 years of viewership, tuning in when it was internet radio, when it was internet TV, when it was a Facebook live show, when it was a YouTube show, and now it's a podcast. And it's been a lot. But I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all for y'all support. I appreciate y'all embracing the host that I bring on. You know, y'all took Jackie in off the street, treated her like family, then did the same thing with Randy, brought him in. He was homeless. You brought him into a partner and kicked back family house. And y'all embraced him. And same thing with Brittany and J. Lou. I just want to thank y'all for doing that, because I feel like really I could damn near, like, my co-hosts are talented and they all bring something to the table. But with the way y'all embrace everybody, it's like I could damn near get anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all really embrace them and tune in every week.
Are you the Patriots? You the Patriots now? Like, you the third man?
Am I?
Bill, you Belichick? All right, Bill. All right, Belichick.
Plug and play. But the difference is they love y'all. You know what I'm saying? They come in and they be hitting up Jackie. When can we do a workout? And they be hitting you, talking to you. Like, Brittany, everybody just the Brittany, we gotta talk about that, the Brittany effect later. But it's cool to see how the community grows, how people interact, how when if J. Lou not here tonight, somebody's like, man, where's J. Lou? And you know, it's, I dig it, you know what I'm saying? And I appreciate it. And I know that there's a lot of podcasts that get one view a day. You know what I'm saying? And we be charting in different countries. I'm very humble and appreciative of that. Whenever I see a good chart place, I text it to y'all. I don't text y'all the small shit. We get a good spot. I'm like, oh, good spot. I'm gonna make sure I send this to them. But I'm gonna thank y'all for y'all work every week. And let's keep doing our thing, have some fun, man. This shit will lead to bigger and better. Let's just keep going.
Yes, thank y'all. We love y'all. Keep tuning in every Sunday.
Beauty. Brandon, I'm gonna give you the last word before we get up out of here.
All right, look, we appreciate everybody listening and being part of it, you know what I mean, and being part of us. We just trying to share what we got to bring it, you know what I mean, so we can just be part of the community and the community be part of us. We sharing and sharing back.
That's right.
And for the final time on any episode of A Pod Named Kickback, for the remainder of the history of this podcast.
Uh-oh.
Goodbye, Shanti. Your name will never be mentioned again. This is the final time I will mention your name, Ashanti.
Market kickbackers, kickbackers, mark this day.
In fact, Ashanti, since you want to be so funny, draw four, skip you, color's blue, the color's green, draw four, uno, we out.
We out.